Okay, I have the honor to introduce Susie to you guys. I met her, I think, a month ago in Turkey at a retreat. It was really surprisingly. I heard from her like 2 years ago, and I think, Susie, you're someone I just met you, and you're someone you just want to be friends with, because your love is so special. And if I see in your eyes, I just feel the Father's love, and it's so, like, so special. And I thank you so much for coming all the way from South Africa to minister to us, to our church, to Germany. She has such a heart for Germany. It's just really special. And I also want to welcome the Augsburg people and all of your friends who came. And I know how much you impacted all the people you met. And I just had some conversations, but I know how much it impacted me. And I really believe, like, I really want to encourage you. I truly believe that this message and what she is going to give to us today from the Father, that it really will impact you. And I'm so honored that you're here. We're so honored and we love you.
Hello, everyone. I feel like I can run laps around here. I can do this and greet you here and then be like, hello. It's very powerful. It's really wonderful. And Esmeralda, hey. We were recently at a wedding of one of my spiritual sons, and it was all in Spanish and German, and I understood this much German and this much Spanish, so I probably got this much of the wedding, but it was fun. That's the point. So it's really wonderful to be here. Hello. Are there a few people that have met me before? Just wave. Have I missed? Yes. Yes. Yay. I just want to welcome, if they don't mind standing, Viola and Johannes. They're hosting me at the moment. They're incredible. Yeah. They have absorbed me into their home, and they are just beautiful people doing incredible things in the world, in the marketplace, and they know how to bring the kingdom to the table because I've had the best food. And then also special friends from Augsburg, if you guys wouldn't mind standing. I just want to welcome Betty and Kata and Tessa and Jana. Yeah! Just a little bit about them. So I did Bethel, life-changing experience for me. And they invited me onto staff. That was like 10 years ago. And then I had an encounter with Jesus, and I got stuck to a world map on the floor. Anyone? Anyone tried it? The world map was on the floor, and I started to pray. Actually, it was on a wall, and I started to pray for the nations. And then the presence of God came upon me, and I started to speak different languages, according to my Australian housemate, who slipped in Google Translate into the room. And the presence of God was so intense for hours. Not only did I get stuck on the wall, I then got stuck to the floor on the world map. My one hand was on Germany. And God touched my heart, and he gave me two incredible scriptures. The word and the spirit are not separate. They are connected and intertwined. They go together. They are interlocked. They cannot be divided. You don't have a church that's more word and a church that's more spirit. You have a kingdom church where the word is the spirit and the spirit is the word, and it is infused in you so that you become a letter to this world. And I was infused with two scriptures that totally transformed my life. If you're wondering what you need to do with your life, buy a world map and lie on it and see what happens. And the scripture that changed my life was Isaiah 53. And Isaiah 53 is the prophetic utterance of when Jesus would come. And the part that hit my heart, everyone say, hit me, Jesus. Hit me, Holy Spirit. Hit me, Father. It hit my heart, And this part that opened up to me was that there was nothing attractive about Jesus. There was nothing that would have drawn men to him because he wasn't the popular king. He wasn't the empire king. He was a humble man, and people didn't even recognize the importance of Jesus. And Jesus said, you can have the attractive places. Nothing wrong with that. But he said, I'm also in the unattractive places. The places that are not maybe appealing or not obvious. And he said, would you come to the unattractive places? And I said, yes! But that is not implying that you are not attractive. In fact, you are all very beautiful, Germans and all the internationals here. You are very attractive, so it's not saying that. It's saying, would we be open to a life where we trust God to lead us to places that maybe we didn't know would be so special to him, but also to us. And that's not just in the church. That's in the garden when you plant something and grow something. That's in your workplace. That's in the lake. Wherever that is, there are places where God wants to reveal not only his creation and beauty, but his love and his purposes. And there you also find people that may seem unattractive. They may seem far from God, but yet God places incredible value on their lives. That scripture and another scripture in Job impacted my life. And when I heard read Job, I panicked. Anyone else would panic. If God said, I'm going to speak to you from Job, that's like the worst book. No, I don't want to have anything from Job. His life is terrible and everything seems like a disaster. I'm like, no, I don't want to hear. But in fact, that scripture totally changed my life completely. Job, the part I read from was, if you would assign and give over your gold, the most valuable thing that you honor, whatever success looks like to you, wealth, whatever it is, relationship, if you would give it over to God, he would become your gold. God would become your gold. And that was like adjustment, the unattractive places, and God becoming my gold. On the world map, yes. So I left and I had no plan because I thought my plan was in Redding, California. And do you know the first place I came to because of this couple sitting in this row was Germany. They opened their doors. Cutter's dad used to go and stand in the office and a surety form. That he would stand surety, that he would cover all my costs because I was a poor little mouse. And that brought me to Germany. This family, this couple opened a door. They were part of a puzzle piece. They're part of a big kingdom family. And so it kept growing. And I want you to know that God is going to minister into your life tonight to remind you not only from where you have come, and remind you of these different puzzle pieces, different people, different places, the work of God, the word of God, the life that he's given you. And he's going to minister and he's going to not only remind you, but he wants to take you forward. Because sometimes we're like, I want to be over there. I want to be over there. But you forget you were over there and now you are here. And this is a massive celebration. The wanting more doesn't take away from all that you have come through. You were once here, and now you are here. Woo! And we forget. And the Holy Spirit wants to remind you tonight. And I think it's suitable in a place like this because I love this, the party. I love the party. I walked in, I'm like, oh yeah, this is surely where the Lord lives. And they're like, yeah, well, last night there was like some vibe, last night, some party. And I'm like, perfect. We're just continuing it, but with way more grace and way more love and way more truth. Let church and Christians not be boring. We have the love of God, the truth of God, but we have the light and the love of God that is so pervasive. It doesn't shrink, it moves forward. I'm going to read a few scriptures, and I also want to share one or two things that I think God gave me, and you can take from it what you want. And if you want to agree and participate, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. This is great. But the thing in the kingdom is that God values our choice. He values our individuality. He values our agreement. It's very crucial. God will never control you. He's never going to come and demand from you. In fact, he will always invite you, and he wants your participation. Are you in or are you out? And this is the incredible power of the gospel. This is the difference and the distinguisher between Christianity and all the other things. Which brings me to mind, I felt God spoke to me this afternoon about this. That in Munich in particular, you are going to start to see the rise of an intellectualism that is trying to equate Jesus with Muhammad and Moses and Mary, and trying to equate Jesus with Buddha and find similarities between them. Try to see that they're all important. People aren't going to deny that Jesus is important. Hear me. They're going to deny that he is pivotal and central. They're going to deny that he is the author of creation, that he is pivotal and central and special to salvation. People will deny that. But I see that there's a rise and there's a move of this discussion and ideological engagement, which is trying to place Jesus on a par or equal and to find similarities. And I want to tell you, rise up, Munich. Rise up, students. Rise up in your workspace to be unequivocal that God is no co-equal to any inferior God, but he is life, and only life is found in Christ, resurrected Christ. That is for you guys. Take it, and also prepare for it. In your conversations, you, not the person next to you, but you, take it and be convinced of God's superiority, of God's centrality. And I like that there's a centrality of worship as well, because so often there is a temptation to make ourselves central, to make ourselves the gold, or our goals the gold. And God says, can I be your gold? Can I be your gold? So let's just start. When we were having communion, I was just so reminded of Romans 5. I'm just going to read it. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And I just want to say that there is peace tonight. There's the outpouring of God's peace in your heart. Peace to have him placed in the center point. Peace to know he values your choice and he loves you. Peace to know that God can help you. That the God who created the universe is interested in you, in your life, and your challenges. And that you truly can have a personal relationship that is releasing you. you can have peace, that which has been tormenting you has to leave. That if you are in here tonight and you feel like there's something swirling in you or in your mind, that the power and authority of Christ breaks that power and peace returns, knowing that you are fully the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I want to speak that over you. But I also want to declare a new hope and a new perspective. And I feel like God wants to do one or two things. And then we're going to trust for His, not only His individual voice, but for His corporate blessing. Because that is the most profound gift we can give to Him, is when we join in our hearts and we say, God, our little lives can give you this. But when we come together in faith, there's something explosive. And the picture I had was a little boy with his friend in a science class and make with the goggles on and making a volcano science project. And the one saying, I wonder if it's going to work. Another one being like, I don't know. Maybe we should ask the teacher for help. And they're like, well, I think we can just light a match. Maybe we can do this. Maybe we can do that. And they're talking between each other, but there's an excitement. There's a joy and an expectation of something to happen because their teacher has told them that they can make a volcano. And they're like, whoa, really? Can we? And it's as if God is inviting us to be children, to be excited about what is possible with God in our lives and through our lives. And then you just see them, and then, and the whole thing goes boom and explodes. And I feel like some of you, there's going to be a release in your hearts, a release of peace and joy, a release of perspective that God is in you and He wants out. And that also, you don't have to be brilliant. You don't have to be an expert. You can just try because your teacher, the Holy Spirit, is nearby. And He wants you to try. He wants you to experiment. He wants you to explore. He's inviting you into the exploration of His goodness, of His extravagance, of His lavishness. All those great things. So everyone, get ready, put your goggles on, ready to make an explosion. So in John 1, this is, oh yes, she likes that, great, boom, everyone say boom, boom. Yeah, you know, sometimes I think we keep the Holy Spirit just on the inside and He's like, I want out. And I'm not saying this is like a German thing. I do think Germans sometimes can be a little more contained, but some of the Germans I know are not like that. But I think it's an international thing. I think it's been a construct of a misunderstanding of God's joy and kindness and the fact that He wants us to enjoy Him and be with Him and to try. Yeah. Okay, so in John 1, this is so powerful and wonderful. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, some of you need to just hear this for your life. God was from the beginning. He is still in existence. You cannot deny who He is. And then He gives you life and He gives you light, and darkness cannot overcome the light. And you carry the light of the world. His intention, His design, His purpose, the glory of God in you. as an expression, as a demonstration of who he is. Whoa! Preach that to your atmosphere. Preach that to your heart. Why are you so downcast? Woo! Holy Spirit. Now, the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It's so interesting because when I looked at these spheres, I was reminded of some of the things I've been learning in science. And even with the eyeball, let's start with the eyeball. We actually were talking about this over lunch, and I thought this was very cool. So your eyeball, right, it's all about receiving light. And it does this whole amazing process. Any medical doctors here? Any optometrists? No. Okay, well, I could tell you anything and you wouldn't know. No. So your lens, the lens in which you see the world, it's a curve. So that light can touch it in a particular way so you can see the full expanse. The curve is very significant. But what is even more amazing is that it's made out of collagen. And collagen is actually opaque, meaning that light, opaque means light can't go through it. But wait a minute, light goes through your lens. So God made your eyeball with a lens to see the world, with a substance that should push light out. But somehow, in his genius, you can receive light into your eye through something that is not supposed to allow light in. His genius design in the way you see. He has defied a rule. There's a principle, there's a natural law, but he overrides it because the light needs to come into your eye. And then it does something amazing in your brain. Okay, hold that thought. When your body is making protein, so everyone be like, that's your protein inside of your body now. It's like this, it's like railway lines, and they're like doing all these things, and things are changing, and your DNA, and there's this whole interaction. It's extraordinary now as you sit. The God who made you, who still exists, is going in your body, and you have no idea, no idea. You just like, just do it, God. Okay, so you have faith in that, right? There's happening in your body. There's a whole lot of faith you are already expressing because you know God's doing something. But this amazing thing happens. There's these little balls that appear like spheres, and they go bigger. And then this cord wraps around it, and that helps order come to the tukka. So God put the sphere, all these little spheres in your body at a micro level, little level, so that things can happen quickly and powerfully in your body. Isn't that amazing? God of the universe. But then, what is happening at a little level in your body is happening in the universe as well. And spheres bring a new space-time continuum to your life. You don't know it, to this whole world. And if there was even a millimeter out or a little second out, the whole world would all fall apart. Explode. This is the God we serve. He is constantly working and expressing not only his glory and his brilliance, but he's expressing his intention. He's expressing his order. He's expressing his power. Constantly. But we have faith in this, right? I'm just telling you, like, yeah, I know something about it. I don't completely understand it, but I know it's happening. We have faith. We have this faith that is operating at these extraordinary levels. And I feel like God wants to invite us into a new level of faith. A new understanding that God is so for us. God is so for the church. God is so for people that don't know him yet. He has made everything in order constantly so things will flow in benefit, in prosperity, in abundance. And all we need to do is agree, yes, God, I am in for whatever you want. We look at a dandelion. This was supernatural because there was only one dandelion and Benny found it for me. But this is a spear, right? And this is interesting because in science you get something, this is a composite flower, and you get something where it's fractal or it's a self-similarity, meaning if I have to look closely, the whole is also the little bit. So this whole, they're little ones made of the same whole. So if I had to blow on this, all those little pieces are little miniature versions of the big piece. Yeah? So you get this all over science, and you get this all over the universe, like holographic technology. So this sphere, this representation, this incredible expression of God that's actually seen as a useless weed is still a profound demonstration of science and physics. And it's simple. And then it spreads. And I feel like this is what God is saying to us. If we could see what it's like to carry the Holy Spirit in us, if we could see what it's like to carry this fullness, that we are a mini expression of this wild God who is brilliant, a genius, doing all these amazing things at a micro, at a macro level, yet he regards us, his children, his church, worthy to carry the Spirit of God, worthy to be his representation and his ambassador to the world. You are his representation. You are a mini part of the big expression. Guys, this is amazing. This should be building such joy. You should be like running laps. God has made me amazing. You are not a boring piece of random artwork. You are a valuable expression of the whole. Now, let me tell you what the whole is. The whole is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what's significant about the sphere is this. In 236 AD, 326 AD, something, there was an argument in the early church. And there was this philosopher who said, let's picture a ladder in front of me, that it's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, like a ladder. The Father's the main dog. And then Jesus is like, you know, he listens to the command. And then the Holy Spirit is somewhere there, the one at the bottom that you walk on and you forget about, like a ladder. And there was these arguments between philosophers and these different movements and some amazing Christians who said, whoa, hang on. We don't see God like a ladder. The triune God we see like a sphere. Wait, this is even more important. There was a heretical theology, subordinationism. Everyone say subordinationism. And subordinationism was a bunch of people saying that we should have a ladder. Very important, Father. Very kind of important, Jesus. And substandard Holy Spirit. And they said that that was theology. And way back, I'm going to look now when it was, AD, they said no. The Nicene Creed said it's a triune God. It's like a sphere. They are the same. You look at the whole, you see God. Yet, There's little pieces, but they're all the same. Like the dandelion. Like fractal that we see in science. It's the big, but if you had to zoom in, you would see the mini big. And there are these personalities, and like the dandelion, they can express themselves and move, but they are the same. And so this construct of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as one, picture the ball, as one sphere of expression, which is actually expressed in every part of our lives. This was really important because for years afterwards, the church has accepted a heretical understanding of the Holy Spirit. Still to this day, people don't understand that they have believed subordinationism, where the Holy Spirit is less and left out. So much so that they also have theology that translates that into woman as well, where women are less. And I feel like God is doing something new and fresh, not only in this church, but in many churches around Munich and in Germany, where that false, heretical ideology that was always regarded as wrong is going to be addressed. And when it does, people are going to encounter the amazing brilliance of the Holy Spirit, who is God and is a full expression of God. And not only are we going to have this amazing understanding, but we're going to be able to give it away, just like the dandelion. We're going to be able to say, have the Father, have the Son, and have the Holy Spirit. It says in the Bible, we don't know. We can't necessarily feel the Holy Spirit, but we can see, like the wind in the trees. But what is even crazier is that the Holy Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit, God, the creator of the universe, has given us the Holy Spirit. That is fullness. That is fullness. This is not me making it up. This is not me giving you a nice, fun, ideological, theoretical, scientific view. This is the Word of God. And it is amazing. And it changes our lives. How does it change our lives? Well, firstly, we have such confidence of God's generosity. And maybe for some of you, you think it's really very conditional with God. It's sometimes there, sometimes not. Sometimes there, sometimes not. Schizophrenic. We believe that sometimes God likes us and sometimes he doesn't. And that he can't live in us. But more than that, we struggle with believing that he can flow through us with power, with authority, to do the things that God has asked us to do. God has asked us. I'm not asking you. I mean, for all I care, you can do whatever you want. Go knock yourself out. Go live a life. Go make lots of money and pursue anything. And be the center of your life. You can do it. I don't mind. I'll feel sad for you because I know there's more. But I'm not inviting you into something that I think you should do. I'm not saying live like me or Johannes or Viola, although they're wonderful. I'm not saying that. I'm saying God has made the most outrageous, amazing, not suggestions, but promises. And for some of us, I feel as if these promises are like these bubbles that float away and then they pop, poof. And you're like, oh, okay. This is my reality. I'm just here and some of this Holy Spirit stuff, God is for us, God can move through us. It's like an idea on a Sunday and we're like, Jesus is king, Jesus is king. We're like, take my life. And then Monday comes and you're like, ooh, there goes the bubble pop. Okay, back to reality. And I actually feel like God is saying, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You are the divine connection, the divine meeting point of God. There is, it's a, as if circles come together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you are bang in the middle, and then they kind of squish together, and you're like, oh, suddenly I find myself in the center of God's heart, and he has got not only presence for me, but he has promises, and they don't wander off. They're not far off, but in fact, they are in me, and I need to agree. I need to just agree, and I need to say, yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, I believe, because it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. It is about God's spirit transforming you. It's about God working through you. Of course, there are things that are too difficult for you. Of course, I think that's the point. And then we say, but God, you're in me. So what if I just tried something? What if I just dipped my toe over there? What if I had this wild idea to do something creative on the streets? And what if I just tried, and then I got a few other people to try with me, and I actually believe that God wants to come out of me and make an explosion in the streets so people can be like, truly, you serve the God Almighty above every other theology and every ideology. What if? What if? Is it possible that there are things in your life that need simple mindset adjustment? Is it possible that there are things in your life that need to come into the center point of God's incredible faithfulness and generosity to you? He is so lavish and so kind, but he also is inviting us into an adventure where we truly carry the Holy Spirit. We are unashamed and we accept that he likes us so deeply, but he's waiting for us just to say, I'm going to try that. I'm just going to go for that. I'm going to align with all of the universe and all of the little micro space and creation that cries out and expresses God's brilliance. Would you be the demonstration of God's brilliance? Would you be the light that overcomes darkness? And I suppose my question is, what is it going to look like? What is it going to look like for us? And I can't answer that. Maybe you are even struggling to answer that. But I feel as if God is inviting us into a really deep place of seeking him and asking him, God, what can I do? What is it that you have for me? Who is it that needs the volcanic love of the Father? Who needs the volcanic freedom of the Father? What is it that is in my life that I can say yes to with such a childlikeness, with such an awe, with such a sense of his centrality? In John 1, verse 16, it says, for out of his fullness, the superabundance. Everyone say superabundance. The superabundance of his grace and truth. We have all received grace upon grace. Spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing. Favor upon favor. And gift heaped up upon gift. It's not just a once-off floating bubble of God's presence that you just can't get. Or maybe you touch it and then it goes and it pops. It is the indwelling of a super abundance. Favor upon favor. Creativity, solutions, hope, joy, healing coming in and through you. I know we know this, but do we actually believe in the brilliance of God's idea to place us as his temple, as his home to this world, as a walking expression? And what is it? What is it that we can do with joy and anticipation? Everyone say anticipation. Wonderful. And then we jump to John 14 and all these amazing miracles happen. Little guy with his fish and his bread. Boom. Multiplication. Extravagant, ridiculous, supernatural. That's what Christianity is. It comes with the supernatural. If your life is not carrying the supernatural expression, then it's boring and you may as well be in another religion. Amen. Amen. This is wonderful. And then we get to John 14, and it says, "And I, Jesus, saying, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, the comforter who needs a comforter, the advocate who needs someone to defend you and stand up for you." Just those that need comfort, just lift your hands a minute. Those that need comfort. God, I thank you right now. You're not distant. You're not far away. You are for them. You are for them. You are for them. God, life is real, and you knew that. But your presence is always with us. And I just thank you right now for the champagne that's within them. And I declare the champagne glory and comfort of the Holy Spirit, the cork to be popped within you, and an overflow and a bubbling up of the presence of God to be so close, not only comfort, but counsel and wisdom and the peace. I declare peace by the authority of Christ. I thank you for the peace that dwells within you. Not that you have to be perfect or brilliant or know everything. Maybe you can't even solve this, but I declare the peace of the Holy Spirit in you now. Thank you, God. So it says you can drop your hands. And I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, and intercessor. We know that the triune God is praying the best prayers for you. Are your prayers like the prayers of the triune God? Are you praying the same prayers? Are you just hoping to get by? Or are you using your mouth to agree with what Jesus is saying about your life and your future? Are you using your mouth to participate with the revelation that there's the kingdom of light in you and darkness cannot overcome your life, and that darkness cannot overcome what you put your heart and your hands to in Jesus' name? Use your agreement with the life of God. And I thank you. I just see an increase in not only in the champagne joy of the Holy Spirit, but I see an increase of truth. And I see the fountain of his love and his truth. You cannot have truth without love and love without truth. And I declare the exclusivity of God's authority. I declare the exclusivity and the superiority of Christ crucified and risen again. And no demonic power is allowed to keep you. You get to agree with the superiority of a light that is greater than all in this world, than your problems, than your debt. Even in that, the presence of God and the comfort of the Holy Spirit and the authority of the life of God is going to bubble up inside of you, because your life is of great value to God. Your life is not random. You are an expression and intentionality of an incredible, interested God that loves, and he lives in you because you have said yes. His yes was always bigger than yours, but he loves your yes because he will not control you and he will not manipulate you. Wow. Everyone just say that. God will never manipulate or control me. And I'll tell you this, the Holy Spirit will never elevate any man or any ministry over Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit will always elevate Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is not interested in making your life perfect or profound. He's not interested in the man of the moment or the woman of the moment or some church or some ministry. The Holy Spirit is interested in Christ being Lord of all and all people knowing and you knowing that your life is around pivoting, concentric. You pivot around the centrality of the Almighty God. You go around, you orbit around the intentionality and the purposes of Christ. Okay, so it gives us another helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor. Do you need wisdom? Do you need help? AI might help you so much, but I can tell you this, the Holy Ghost is a genius. Father God, who created everything with mystery and design, thank you, God, that we can have counsel. And we can even command AI to come under the authority of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What about the strengthener? Who needs a strengthener tonight? Who needs strength that is in your physical body, in your emotions, in your mind? Why, I can't give it to you. You can't clearly give it to yourself. Praise God, we have the amazing generosity of the Father that is saying, here is my Holy Spirit. Have strength. Receive strength. Amen. You get it. Holy Spirit, strengthen her, Lord. Amen. Do you know, I once went to a church service, it was in a township in South Africa. I love the wild South African people, and I'm here to bring more wild. And we were in a church service for like 4 hours, and what did we do? We worshipped. I was dripping in sweat. I'm telling you, dripping. I had chairs on my head running up and down. Anyone knows what it means when you carry a chair on your head? In an African church, it's the under the covering and under the authority and power of God. And I was running around with a chair on my head, and I was just going for it. And then I was doing this move, and I was that way, and that way, and that way, and this way, and that way. And then someone else came, and we were like, "Go!" And you know what? I had more energy than I ever thought was possible. My calves were so stiff the next day. But it was the best thing ever. Some of you need to go in your living room if you don't want to do it here. Put a chair on your head, run around, and just move. Just allow the champagne strength of the Holy Spirit to come out of you. Because sometimes we take ourselves too seriously and we don't take God seriously at all. Stop it. Do you know once God invited me to put on some Irish pub music? Irish pub music. And I put that on in the flat, and I did Irish dancing. Anyone does Irish dancing here? Well, I tell you, it is the best thing and the most freeing experience of your life. And so there I went. I went around the living room. For about 2 hours. The Holy Ghost touched my life. I'm telling you, I was miserable. I was very focused on myself and everything that hadn't worked and everything I'd lost. And where was God? And I've been so faithful, but Jesus has left me. What nonsense. The Irish set me free in Jesus' name. Some of you can find something. Making pottery, playing soccer. I don't know. I think God is in all things, and he can be an incredible encounter and the most simple, fun things. But sometimes we have to agree. We have to agree that what is inside of us needs to come out of us like, we need to do something. So there was Irish dancing. And then some people came in for prayer group, and I said, everyone, Irish dance. And we're like, this is actually a good Irish dance platform. We go around. And we're going for it. And oh, the hands go stay here, though. You can't. No hands. And everyone in that room got delivered of depression. Did I say, I quote the word of the Lord and I release a demon out of you? No, we did Irish dancing and we got born again. Amen. I can tell you some other fun stories. I have seen the Holy Spirit come in moments that people have waited years for because they didn't think they were of value to encounter the Lord. I have seen in a kitchen making pasta, not a good pasta, I'll have you know. It was overcooked, could have stuck it to a wall, thrown it and just stayed there. It was terrible. Making pasta in a kitchen, and the glory of the Lord came and touched a group of us. We were from different streams, different churches, different theology. What we did believe is Jesus died and rose again. Some of them didn't believe in the Holy Spirit, but there I was making food. And these people came in who didn't believe in the Holy Spirit. And I turned around and I said, it is wonderful to have you here. I think God has something special for you because it's clearly not my pasta. And they fell out under the power of God in the kitchen. The one girl got stuck on our floor for several days. We would help her go to the bathroom and back. We had to phone her work and say, she's got bronchitis, because we actually didn't know what to say. I'm so sorry, we lied. But I'm like, she's stuck under the power of God in our kitchen, a little kitchen. And she didn't, the best part, believe in the Holy Spirit. She'd been told the ladder. And as a woman, she felt even at the bottom of the ladder. She felt like the doormat. And the power of God touched her. She came up a new person, with a confidence and a love and a newness in her heart. I have stories where I was on the streets with a hula hoops. And I put hula hoops down and I said, this is the hula of healing and this is the hula of hope. And when you, an unsaved person, steps into the hula of healing or hope, you are going to encounter God. Now, have I ever seen that before? No. But I have this thing about the concentric, right? You're noticing. It's very profound. The sphere. So we're on the streets and people are walking past. And we're like, hey, do you need healing? Yeah. Well, step into, we're going to pray in Jesus' name. Is that okay? Because here Jesus is. They're like, where's Jesus? I'm like, he's there. Just don't worry. Just step in there. And people were getting healed. Then I thought when I was in Germany a couple of years ago, Linda, do you remember? Linda, she's my like spiritual daughter. She's amazing. Were you there? I can't remember. The hula hoops. Yeah, the yellow. Okay. So there we are in the middle of a village on a public holiday. And I have this idea. I'm like, we need to do a hula of healing and a hula of hope. Who's with me? And people are like, yeah, nah, but we want a coffee. So we go to the village. And the five of us, yeah, in the car with the cafe. Yeah, okay, so you're a witness, yeah. And you can ask, it was a bit crazy. And then I said, no, I want two yellow hula hoops because I feel like God is on yellow. He loves yellow. Very on trend now, not so on trend then. So we go to the village and everything's kind of closed, but it's a small village on a public holiday. And we don't find anything really, except this one kind of shop. It had one of those very heavy big hula hoops, but it was gray and pink. And I was like, nah, that's not what I had in mind. I need two yellow hula hoops and not an expensive heavy one. So no, we moved on. Then we went to DM, which is like fragrance and perfume and cards and chocolate, lots of chocolate, yeah, and tea, lots of it. So I ask through friends, please ask that person if there are any hula hoops here, especially two yellow ones. So they ask, da 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 da, and nine. On a mission? Okay, so we're like, well, maybe not that person. So then we asked someone else, and the answer was nine. It's not summer, never had hula hoops. So I'm like, right, okay. So then I'm walking amongst the perfume and the stationery, everything that is not a hula hoop. There are no hula hoops, there are no toys. It was like beauty things, yeah? DM, wonderful DM. I love DM, well done Germany. And I look and I see a stock room and I see a door that's ajar, a little bit open. And I think, God, I wonder if there are two yellow hula hoops in there. So I thought, I'm just going to go look. So I went and I peered in and I thought, there are definitely two yellow hula hoops in there. So then I went, Sabina was with me, Bina. I said, Bina, can you ask that lady if there are two yellow hula hoops in the stockroom? To which obviously they're like, she needs to give up. She needs to let go. She's crazy. The dream, the bubble has gone. It has passed the moment. So what happened? This beautiful old lady that was very kind, old generation German, respectful, not entitled, not like nine. She went into the stockroom, and what did she pull out? Two yellow hula hoops. Two, not one. Two yellow hula hoops in winter, and they don't sell hula hoops, and they never have before. And the best part was she was able to ring it up. Because it had a barcode. And I don't know about you, but I think Holy Spirit had a sense of humor. Because he was like, we are going to actually let you buy that because it has value. He valued my faith for two yellow hula hoops. And then we got crazy because we started going round circles. We were driving and we were singing, we all live in a yellow submarine, yellow submarine. And the presence of God got very thick in the car. You see, the Holy Spirit can meet us in a car. He loves cars. He loves engineering. His idea, he does. Who here loves cars and great engineering? Don't we all? Jesus is King. I believe he's behind innovation and invention and all things wonderful. Thank you, Jesus, for more German engineering. More. More. So we are going round a circle, and next minute, our exit, every time we went round the circle, a yellow car would appear. And we all know in Germany, yellow cars are very few, very, very few. And so we just kept going round and round the circle, and the presence of God got thicker in the car, and the joy of the Lord started to erupt like a volcano through us, because we started to see God is insanely personal. And why would he give us two yellow hula hoops? Why? By the time we got back to the retreat where everyone was, we all felt like we had been drinking lots of wine. Who knows that God is fun and he fills us, and that he fills us with so much joy and pleasure that nothing else in this whole world could ever match Jesus the Most High. Because we can get high, but not the Most High. Because only the Most High can make us happy beyond what our body can contain. So we are so happy, and we get out the car, and I throw the hula hoop, and I was like, who needs healing? Woo! And there was an amazing Finn's wife. She had been struggling holding her baby because her ligaments, her connective tissue was really damaged, and she was wearing braces, and she thought, participation, why not stick my hand in the circle and fling it around and believe for healing. So she starts going for it. Some of you just need to start moving your body, that's all. You're going to get healed. God, thank you that you just touch people's body even now as I release this testimony. Even now, start swinging it and she gets healed so that she can enjoy her baby. God is amazing. I mean, why not? That's maybe not the most incredible story, but it's a beautiful personal story. And I like it because it's concentric. See, God in his infinity, never-ending love, we are immersed, submerged in the center of his heart, yet we are pivoting around him. You got to picture that in fractal technology that will bend your mind. I have so many other testimonies, but what I'm really interested in is in this little evening, is that I can help you to remember that you have been taken from one place to another by the grace of God, through your agreement, through your faith, that the righteousness of God is still working. And the best part is that you have the Holy Spirit in you with great intention, and you have this all-knowing, all-powerful, unmatchable, indescribable, brilliant, genius God who expresses himself divinely, creatively, intentionally, purposefully in the macro space, in the micro space. And he is like, I am for you. I am with you. The Holy Spirit is not less. The Holy Spirit is the Godhead. And you carry this life, and it is light, and it has overcome darkness. It has overcome darkness. And God, I just thank you for these beautiful people. God knows exactly where we're at. He knows our story. He knows that some of us, we want to go there. And we're like, but we're here, God. I want to go there. There, God. And I see bubbles and they're disappearing. I want the dream. I want the promises. I don't know. What I do know is this, is today his presence is here. His presence is in us. His Holy Spirit is with us. We have the comforter, the strengthener, the counselor, what we need. We've got God in us. And there is real purpose and joy to that and peace to that. And yeah, maybe God is like, maybe you want to go there. But what if you want to go there? It's even better and bigger. Maybe. Maybe our hearts and our minds have become too small. Maybe we just need to be like, whoa, this is a big God. What are we going to do? Are we going to make something? We're going to like blow something up? Woo! Yeah. Let's try. Let's try. What is it? What is it that we can try? Maybe some of you just need to plant a seed, a tomato seed, and grow a tomato plant on your balcony. Maybe. Something. It doesn't have to be like outrageous. Maybe. Some of you need to take your piano onto your campus or into your workspace and start singing about how powerful Jesus is. Maybe some of you just need to like lay hands on someone and be like, I don't know, I can't help you, but the Holy Spirit can. Boom. Yes. Maybe some of you need to text someone who's very sick and say, you know what? I'm just reminded that God's really big and loves you. And I pray in Jesus' name that you will be healed and your spine will stop hurting and joy will return and you'll be able to function. Maybe someone needs to, as you leave, phone a family member or a friend, be like, you know what? I'm so sorry. I forgot to tell you about this incredible God that loves me and loves you. And I'm sorry, I felt weirdly ashamed to tell you that he is the savior of the world. But I want to tell you that there's a choice, and this is an invitation, that if you need help, there's Christ crucified, died again, and he loves you, be born again. Maybe you need to do that. I don't know, maybe you need to cook someone a meal, bless it, and pray that as they eat the meal, they are going to get saturated with the love of God and go knock on their door and give it to them. I don't know, but you know, because you have the Holy Spirit. Wow. And the Holy Spirit is not here. The Holy Spirit is not there. The Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son are one, and they love each other, and they're constantly expressing the brilliance of each other. This is amazing. It's not a ladder in your life as well to try to get to God. He has come to you. You are not trying to win or earn the favor. He's already said, I give you favor upon favor and superabundance. But what are you going to do with that? What are you going to choose to believe? You cannot believe that, or you can believe that. There's your choice. It's amazing. How generous is God? And you know, the Holy Spirit is also brilliant at doing. He's brilliant at delivering us from evil because light has overcome darkness. Darkness has no place. So if darkness has been in your life, then you need to choose to say, I don't want darkness anymore because I know who I am and I know who my God is. And I make an agreement that all of that stuff that has been holding me down no longer gets to hold me down because I'm going over there and I'm doing it with Jesus and I'm going over there. I was there. And now I'm here, but I'm going over there. And if there's a demon keeping me from there, I don't want it. So it must go in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And then you go do that to other people. You're like, hi, you want to go over there? Well, you can only do that with Christ because that's the path of reconciliation. And I'll tell you what, you stand up and you walk and you get born again and you get new and you keep going. In fact, you can come with me. Let's go because it's way more fun. Let's find yellow hula hoops. Why not? Let's find some hope and healing. This is a wonderful idea. And sometimes it's childlike and it's fun and it's joy in all things. God is not separate. Just like the ladder. Thank you, Esmeralda. I love this woman. She's wonderful. So much fun. And sometimes we think it's like the ladder. It's like separate. God is, you know, in here and then out there. He's definitely not out in Munich, in the restaurant, in my garden, in my home. You know, sometimes I've got one most great story, actually. I remember in the early days hearing that song, close your eyes, give me your hand, darling. Do you feel my heart beating? Do you understand? Do you feel the same? Or am I only dreaming? Or is this an eternal flame? Da-na-na-na. It's old school 80s, the Bangles. Hey, hey. And all of us in our 40s are like, yeah, yeah. Okay, so I heard this song and I thought, maybe God's singing it to me. I thought this. And it was probably like a bit of an outrageous thought because the church probably would not have endorsed that. But I thought it's the Lord. So then I went shopping, right? Who likes shopping? Anyone? Of course you do. You love shopping. Everyone loves shopping for something. So I go shopping and every single shop I walked into, close your eyes, I'm like, huh, maybe this is just a coincidence. And then I go and I sit in the car and then on the radio, old school radio, yeah, where it feeds you, like social media, what you want and not what you should be looking for. It's the same principle anyway, just saying. So then the song comes and I'm like, na-na-na-na-na, and I'm like, I think God is speaking to me. God might just be speaking to me. And then it continued and it continued. And then the one day, my dad left home when I was at university. And I was really heartbroken. He left on Father's Day. Anyone who's had a parent that has abandoned them or left them and it hurt? Anyone? Anyone had a parent that hurt them? Yeah. And I was so sad. And I was working 3 jobs to put myself through university. Even though I had a scholarship, there was still this portion. And I remember feeling a bit sorry for myself. Anyone felt sorry for themselves here? Anyone felt a bit, I'm so sorry for myself. So hard. And there's a lot of things that happened to us. So I'm not undermining that. But we've all been there, right? So I was feeling very sorry for myself. And I'm standing on a platform in a boutique shop. And it was like Lipton iced tea, like the very first Lipton iced tea, peach flavor. And I was promoting it. And I remember pouring glasses and in walks. So I can see this boutique. It was tiny. And in walks an Indian man, a beautiful Indian man. Anyone of Indian descent here? I love India. Beautiful. Oh, praise God. I love India. Love India. The nation of India will be saved. They are worshipers. They are full of life. Yeah, at the moment, Jesus is equal with others, but I'm telling you, when they see the supernatural power of God, you're going to see many nations run to Jesus. Amen. So I walk, and an Indian man walks in blue overalls. Very odd, I've never seen it before. And he comes, and in my head, I'm pouring Lipton iced tea. I said, God, do you really love me? Do you really know my name? Well, in walks a man with piercing blue eyes, an Indian man in Durban. Durban, South Africa, with piercing blue eyes. I've never seen one. I'd grown up there. I was like 20 years old. And I look up and this man appears as I think, God, do you love me? Do you know my name? Like the song. And what does the Indian man do? He says, Susan, God loves you. Looks me in the eyes. I panicked. Anyone else ever panicked when something supernatural happens? Because your brain can't keep up because something is outside the law of nature and what you know. And this piercing, blue-eyed man, I was like, do you want Lipton iced tea? That's all I could do. That's all I could say. I didn't recognize it was God. I was like, have the tea, being a good promoter. And I looked up, and that man disappeared like that, out the store. And I remember thinking, that's a bit odd. Anyone? Bit strange? But still, my brain was like, I couldn't go there. I couldn't go there that I'd prayed, and automatically, an Indian man, and Indian men generally don't have piercing blue eyes. Thank you. No. No? No piercing blue eyes. Still have never seen an Indian man with piercing blue eyes in a blue overall that was that happy. That was an angel that God sent. Wow. Fun. But I still didn't get it. And then a few years later, I'm catching a train in South Africa. Not a good thing to do. South Africans don't catch trains, right? It's very unsafe. So I'm catching a train late at night. Very bad, very unsafe. I used to work in one of the townships. So there I am, and this very strange man came and he started to harass me. Very few things make me afraid. Very few. This man made me afraid, and in my heart I said, God, I need your help. Holy Spirit is the helper. Out of the blue, up the ramp comes the hottest, amazing security guard I've ever seen. I was like, GQ model. That's what I said in my head, GQ model. And he came up in a uniform I've never seen to this day. I hadn't seen it then. And he comes up. He is beautiful. I mean, he is like all sorts of dreamy, perfect Adam. And he's got this chiseled jawline. And he looks at me and he winks with these piercing green eyes, like eyes I've never seen, like heavenly eyes. And he looks at me and he goes to the guy. And he was huge. He was huge. And he looks at the guy and he says, ticket, please. The guy panicked. It was as if he was like quivering. Guy's like, no ticket. And he takes him under his arm and he walks off and he turned around and he looked at me. And I'm like, Did that just happen? That was an angel, my friends. That was an angel. Wow. Last story. So I actually had 5 minutes in a very conservative Dutch Reformed church in the very north of Holland. Anyone? Yeah? You understand? Friesland. Yeah, ek verstaan, baie goed, yeah. So Friesland in the north, very serious people in a very serious church. They didn't believe in the Holy Spirit. And I was given 5 minutes to speak. And I got up and I had no idea what to share and I started singing. Say my name, sunshine through the rain. Everyone had not said one word or sung anything during the worship. But I started singing that, and the whole church, all the Dutchies were like, da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. They're singing, and they are crying. They just start crying. I'm like, what is going on? And I told them in 5 minutes, Jesus sang that song to me, and he touched my life and changed my life, that he knew me. And this is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And people were just weeping. They were weeping. And I thought, huh? How does that happen? I don't know, but I do know this. God meets us as we are, where we at. And tonight, he wants to do some explosions in us. He wants to ignite the joy and the peace and the life of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. And he's asking of us to just participate and say yes. Not just here, but when we leave and when we go. And I have no idea what that's going to look like, but I know it's going to be wonderful. And I know that you are a representation of the love of God. You're a representation of his kindness and his goodness and his generosity. And that what you need tonight, you can ask of him and he can fill you and flow through you like champagne coming out of you. And who knows, if you've got champagne in you and you have got a whole bottle of champagne, you are going to sometimes feel a little happy. and probably cool and calm, and there's going to be more confidence. Just remember, the God of the universe, where no darkness can touch him, lives in you. And you have this light, and the minute you open your mouth, there is an explosion, a volcanic expression of his glory. And he is in all things. In all things.